Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Punchestown Racecourse Victory Podium, where Ruby Walsh was stood on Wednesday afternoon after Ken Boy's victory in the Punchestown Gold Cup. We're now, though, looking ahead to day four of the festival. We won't have Ruby, but we will have plenty of stars on show. I'm joining myself, Lee Mottstead, here. Got my Racing Post colleagues, David Jennings and Paul Keeley, and from Paddy Power, Darren Hughes. Eight race card again on Friday, and it kicks off with possibly my favourite race of this entire festival, from one year to the next. It's one of the worst races in the calendar and also one of the best. The KFM Hunters Chase for the Bishop's Court Cup, the Farmers Race. DJ, just read out the race conditions there. They're glorious.
Okay, so it's a €15,000 guaranteed event for certified hunters, four-year-old or older. The bona fide and unconditional property of farmers farming land in the Kildare Hunt District and in their possession since the 1st of January 2019. Sons and daughters of persons qualified to enter, working on their parents' farms and who have no other occupation, are eligible to enter horses, their bona fide property in this race. Weights, four-year-olds, 10 stone.
That's
10.
Fine, that bit, now. Okay. That was the best bit done. So, no chance for Godolphin. No, you're gorgeous. You're good.
Yeah.
No chance for Godolphin to be involved in this one. Lots of R's, P's and U's in the form figure. If any man, however, can have a proper view on the Farmers Race, because you have a view on every race, it's David Jennings.
Yeah, utterly pointless. Shouldn't be part of the festival. And a terrible way to start a great day's racing.
Okay.
No opinion whatsoever on what will win this race. It's horrible.
Right, so
it's great for connections involved to have a runner on a big day, but God, like, this is dreadful stuff.
I quite like it.
Well, each to their own, but this is rotten.
Right, okay. Darren?
I think Cheltenham needs one of these.
Yeah.
Actually, no, I agree fully with David, like, get rid of this. It's just a waste of time. Like, as David says, it's nice for the people to have a runner on this particular day because they're not going to have one otherwise, but there's no need for it to be here, like.
Isn't going how I hoped it would do. Kills?
Well, if I was going to put up something in this race, I think I would be charged with fraud. I mean, you just wouldn't have the faintest idea. One trainer's got five runners. And I think, you know, one of them managed to finish a race. Like, you know what I mean? It's just, you know, it's not, you know.
Of course, that trainer is Peter Maher? Yeah.
Peter Maher,
yeah. Maher, who once wasted using a cabbage soup diet to ride in the race. Now he only trains them, and one of his runners, Ennis Skilling, a regular in this race, has run at the festival about 38 times and is back again for the Farmers Race.
Like, Alpha Male won it last year, was previously with Nicky Henderson, and probably will win it again. Like, form figures of 5-0-0-8-8, and you're fancying a horse with those form figures. I think the last time I fancied a horse with those form figures was Bacardi's, the Champion Stairs on Thursday.
But DJ did have a view on the Farmers Race. You've saved me. Thank you. The 420 is the EMS Copiers Novices Handicap Chaser, first of two interesting handicaps that precede the Champion Hurdle. Darren, we'll start with you.
Yeah, the one I really fancied here ended up being a non-runner. It was Robin DeForest. So a bit of late scrambling then this morning. And the one I came down on, was, who I think is the class edge in the race, is Prava Laguna for Willie Mullins. I think she jumps pretty well. She has decent form in behind Camellia Ducat. It is a token selection. It's not a very strong selection, but she's the one I came down on.
Okay, Kills?
One of Dave's horses from last year that he really liked, Louis Vac Pooch, actually threatened to become a decent hurdler, and then when he hit the festivals last year, he was terrible, terrible. He's now threatening to actually become quite a decent chaser. He won his first couple of starts, and he fell, and then he was second last time at Air to Secret Investor. I think that's a fair bit in form, because when Secret Investor's on form, he's pretty decent. And he travelled really well throughout that race. He's won, you know, he races mostly left-handed, but he's won three out of six right-handed. I think he'd go well. I think he's fairly well handicapped.
Okay, interesting stuff. DJ?
My strongest fancy today is in this. I fancy Jets. I think he's been laid out for the race, completely laid out for the race. Jessica Harrington has won this race three times since 2010. She won it with Chasing Cars, she won it with Madame Bovary, and she won it with Woodland Opera in 2017. It's a race they love to win, and according to Jessica, she reckons they've done a little back. I don't know if it's a whatever. They've done something with Jets' back because they've figured out why he wasn't jumping as well as they thought, because they thought he was a natural from day one. I think he's a potential class act in the race because he's already a Grade 3 winner at Navan earlier on this season. And I'd say since that day, this has been the plan. Like, they could have ran him in something like the Close Brothers at Cheltenham, but they sidestepped that. I'd forget the run the last day because I don't think he was right at all. They think they have that problem sorted. I'd say they think this is probably their best chance of the week, and I'd be fairly sweet on Jets.
Ooh. I almost want to change my selection now because he's my guilty pleasure. I've been backing him all the time, like, you know, and I thought I'm going to give up on him in the end.
That's your only guilty pleasure.
And now thinking about it, oh, I've got a few of them, I tell you. Guinness is the most obvious one. If he's right, he's got a great chance, no doubt about it.
You will see a different Jets tomorrow. Yeah, there you go. Can't say more than that.
It's very exciting stuff. So Jets, really positive choice from David Jennings, and persuading Paul Keighley of the case as well. The 455 is the Hanlon Concrete Irish EBF Glen Carrig Lady Francis Flood Mares Handicap Chase. David Jennings.
Nothing very strongly here. I'm going to side with Slow Motion, who I was disappointed with. I tipped it in the paper at Fairy House last time. Just jumped a bit slow and just didn't get into a rhythm. I'm not convinced she's absolutely entirely infatuated with fences at the moment, but she is a class act. She's rated 138. She was sixth in a Galway Plate. I thought she ran quite well in the Mayor's Hurdle at Cheltenham, and it could just be that she badly needed to run a Fairy House. If that does bring her on another bit, I think she's just slightly better than Barra. There's a pound between them in the ratings, so I'm hoping class can prevail with Slow Motion. I think Slow Motion was second in the race a couple of years ago as well.
Okay, Slow Motion for DJ. Darren,
I haven't a massively strong opinion here, but the one I did come down on was Ellie Mack for Henry de Bromhead. Get the negatives out of the way first. She doesn't jump absolutely brilliant, and Henry's record at this festival isn't great either, but he did have a winner yesterday, so maybe he's over that hump. She's in very interesting form. She was highly tried over fences this year, running some hot novices. She ran behind Larisburg when he beat in seven lengths, and other graded novice chases as well. Her return at Wexford wouldn't have been the most inspiring, but she was off the back of a four-month break. Wexford's a horrible, tight turn and track, and I think it's a rotten track to run around. And I'd say this more galloping track, better ground will suit her, and she should strip fitter today.
Our prospects of getting any sort of postcast from Wexford at any time soon have just gone right down the pan.
Looking at this race, and I was struggling to come up with any enthusiasm, and then I had another look at just how well Synopsis won at Cheltenham earlier in the season. She hasn't come close to repeating that sort of form, but if she does, she could prove thrown in, because she looked really, really good that day. Don't know how good the race was. Black Tulip's not exactly brilliant, but she just looked really good that day. And if Gordon Elliott brings her back and she's in that sort of form, she'll be hard to beat.
Okay, brilliant. And then we move on to the big race on day four. It's a Punchestown Champion Hurdle. Bet that Punchestown Champion Hurdle. Really interesting contest. We've got Bouverdare and Super Sunday, of course, fourth at the finish of the Aintree Hurdle. Mellon, who crashed out three out when leading that race. Apple's Jade, who bounced back to an extent at Aintree when third in the Stayers Hurdle there. Wicklow Brave, a previous winner of this race. Somerville Boy and Petit Mouchoir as well. Paddy Power prices, please.
Sure thing, yeah. So Bouverdare is our 6-4 favourite. Apple's Jade is 7-4. Super Sunday is 7-2. Mellon is 8. Somerville Boy is 33-1. Wicklow Brave is 33-1. And Petit Mouchoir rounds them out at 66-1.
And Darren, how do you assess the race?
So I was having a look at this yesterday, and my initial reaction was Super Sunday, but I saw another firm who will go unnamed go up 11-2 about Apple's Jade, which looked absolutely ludicrous, so I availed myself of some of that. Do I actually out and out fans her in the race? Would I back her at 7-4? I probably wouldn't, to be fully honest with you. Who I came down on was Super Sunday. He generally runs his best race at this time of year. The ground will definitely suit him as well, but you do have to remember what Apple's Jade did to Super Sunday earlier on in the season. This will probably, I have her backed already at the price, so it'll probably be a watching brief after that. I wouldn't be getting stuck into anything else, but looking forward to the race, really. It should be the highlight of the week, nearly.
Yeah, Keels, you noticed those Apple's Jade prices too, didn't you?
Yeah, I noticed them disappearing before I could get on, unfortunately. But it's, how do you do that as an odds compiler? I just don't understand. Like, you know, I wanted to oppose her at Cheltenham because I didn't think she liked the place, but she was so bad there must have been something wrong. She looked like she didn't want to know from halfway, and it's just not her, because she's as tough as old boots and she likes it. And I think, you know, I don't know whether she truly sees out 3 mile, but she was almost back at Aintree. She looked like she was enjoying it again. She wanted it, and I think background here. You've got to remember, she was disappointed last year, but she disappointed Cheltenham then. Two previous years, she won by wide margins here, and I just think she'll win. I think Bouvardier's on the slide now. He was still way below form in that Super Sunday race, and you know, if Applejade had been in that race, I think she'd have won it easily.
He had a hard race to enter, didn't he, Bouvardier?
He did have a hard race, yeah. He did have a hard race, and I just don't think he's quite, you know, he's just not operating at the level he was at.
David Jennings, the two gentlemen on my right are besotted with Apples Jade. Are you similarly smitten?
I used to be smitten, and proper smitten. Now, I mean, she was my favourite. And I have a theory with her, but I'm probably wrong because I'm usually wrong about these things. But I think that the reason she's been so disappointing in spring, I know she was in season last year, but I think when she dominates in the early part of the season, the races are run at a slower tempo because it's the first half of the season. It's slower ground. Horses are kind of either coming back or it's not their proper target, okay? Mm-hmm. So I think the races are run slower and she's able to bully horses in the first part of the season. I think when she gets to here, when she gets to Cheltenham, when she gets to Aintree, she gets taken on. They're going to strike quicker. She's taken out of her comfort zone. And I think that's the main reason why she's disappointed in the, at this time of year in the last couple of seasons. And I could see this happening again tomorrow. Yeah. Mellon is going to do exactly the same as what Mellon did at Cheltenham. Yeah. So that's going to happen again. And to be honest, like, I think Bouvardier will win. I do. I think if all the horses were the same price, I'd definitely be back in Bouvardier. Obviously, they're not. Obviously, he's the shortest price of them. Obviously, he's favoured. But I think maybe we're just being a tiny bit too quick and just writing them off. Like, we don't know what would have happened to Cheltenham. Obviously, he was disappointing when just beaten by Verdana Blue at Christmas. But I'd forgive him his run at Aintree. It was a kind of a funny race. It was horrible weather. Like, he was hampered at the second last when Mellon fell. And I think if the race was over 2 miles, he would have beaten Super Sunday. I think it was 2.5 miles, probably just suited Super Sunday because he was able to just grind it out. Yeah. I think Bouvardier is still the best of these at this time of year. It's interesting that they're coming back. And I've never heard Nicky talk so sweetly about Bouvardier as he has in the last 2 weeks. He's kind of saying, no, we're sending him to Punchestown. He's working better than he ever has. We're going to have a go. I think the race will be run to suit, and I think he'll win.
OK, David Jennings has parted with Apples Jade, gone
strange,
for Bouvardier.
Strange this, isn't it? Because we were doing Cheltenham previews, and I'm telling him Bouvardier's an absolute certainty. He's telling me, how can he ever beat Apples Jade? And now we've just, you know, swapped sides.
I've just two more pieces of evidence, because I just think at Aintree and Cheltenham, I just don't think she likes that going that faster tempo, but I could be wrong.
It's a fascinating debate. It'll be a fascinating race.
I hope she wins, though.
Yes.
Because I just love her. I hope she wins, but I think Bouvardier will win.
Okay. He loves her, but he thinks Bouvardier will win. And with that news, we end part one of this podcast.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to Punchestown as we continue previewing day 4 of the festival. And the 6.05 race is a belter. The Anna Holmes Champion Novice Hurdle. Big winners here from Cheltenham and Aintree. Down news from Paddy Power. How'd you bet?
Sure thing, yeah. So City Island for Martin Brassel, the impressive Cheltenham winner, is our 5-4 favourite. Reserve Tank Den for Colin Tizard is 4s. Battle Over Dying is 11-2. Sam's Profile is 7-1. Tornado Flyer is 10s, and it is 16s bar.
Keels, this is a good one.
Yeah, really, really, really good race. Really strong favourite in City Island. We did at Cheltenham in a really good Ballymore, I think. Commanding winner. Champ has come out. Champ, who was second, has come out and won at Aintree. So very solid favourite. I'm going to end up taking him on, though, because I think there's a lot of quality in this race. Obviously, you've got Reserve Tank, the Aintree winner. You've got Battle Over Doyen, who apparently didn't travel over too well to Cheltenham. You can rule out that run. He's a lot better than that. But the one I've come down on is a horse that pulled up in February. Probably found the ground miles too quick, because it was very quick that day at Leopardstown. I've forgotten the bloody name of it again.
I don't
know. I've forgotten the name of it again.
I knew you did, because you were waffling. I knew it. Leave that in.
Yeah,
Leave that in.
It's brilliant. Right, okay.
It's been a heavy couple of days, and it just left me completely.
Did he come back to you?
Tornado Flyer.
DJ, just explain why Kiel's fancy Tornado Flyer.
Well, I seen him actually. I knew he couldn't remember the name because I could see his head going higher and higher and higher. And I was going to help him out, but then I said I'd let him suffer.
Right.
So why did he fancy him?
I'd say he fancied it because the ground was too quick last time, and he was a very good bumper horse, and it's held in high regard. I couldn't fancy him, but Paul does, and he's a better judge than me.
Was that basically right?
Yeah, he won the bumper here last year, and on Racing Post ratings, made him the best bumper horse of 2018. Felix Daisy was nearly 20 lengths behind him. Carefully Selected, who ran a really good race here yesterday, was third in that race. If he comes back to that sort of form, then he's got a chance. I'm going to back him each way. You can get bigger than the tens as well.
Okay, brilliant. DJ, you've explained why Kiehl's fancy Tornado Flyer. What do you fancy?
Yeah, I think this is possibly the only time you'll get the back battle over Diane at 11-2. Look, you have to obviously just take that race at Cheltenham and just put it to one side, because I went down to the Parade Ring. I had said it every preview night, and I was on numerous Cheltenham preview nights with Gordon Elliott, where he looked me in the eye and said, "This is their big great white hope. This is." He said he loved him. He said everything about him he loves. He said he's a future star. I went down to the Parade Ring. Hated the look of him. Ooh. Keith Dunne told me he didn't travel over well. Right. He sweated up beforehand. Right. It was just from the minute he got there. I'd say from the minute he left the Calendra House, it was a tale of woe. And it was just horrible what happened in the race. And hopefully it hasn't taken too much out of him. He's had a lot of time to get over it. But he's a bloody good horse. And 11-2. You have to remember, this horse was hammered in the market prior to the Ballymore. He never went a yard. I think 11-2 is a big price. From what he did at Nace and what he did prior to that, I think he's a very, very good horse. And there's no way that 5-4 City... I'm not saying the 5-4 City Island is wrong, but 5-4 City Island and 11-2 Battle Over Dying does not fairly reflect the level of ability that those two horses have. So I think 11-2 Battle Over Dying is a free each way bet.
Okay, we all love a free each way bet. Dan, what do you like?
I actually came into this race thinking it was near enough to banker the week in City Island, but had another look, and between David's impassioned plea there for Battle Over Dying, I'm no longer so certain. I was a big fan of the horse going into Cheltenham, and I actually backed him on the day, and like everyone else, was extremely disappointed with what happened to him. But if you're taking that he travelled over badly and just didn't take to the place, if you're taking that as word, like, he obviously has a massive chance here, and he didn't actually have a hard race at Cheltenham. Obviously, he was pulled up, whereas City Island had a ding-dong battle with Champ, and obviously that form has been frank since. And I'd agree with David. Look, I think the 5-4 is right, and I wouldn't put anyone off backing him. But thanks to David, I'm actually going to come down the side of the Battle Over Dying.
With news now that DJ has just passed on via text message that the team here want to test the PA sound system. So we have to rattle through the final three races. DJ, the Champion Hunter Chase.
Yeah, stand up and fight for me. Just too immature, too good of a horse for the race at Cheltenham, I thought. He was trying to kind of cuddle him into contention, and it just didn't happen. Everything happened a bit quick. He stayed on nicely. I think he'll win the Hunter's Chase at Cheltenham next year, and I think he'll start that voyage by winning this.
Love the way you said cuddle.
Yeah, like a bit of cuddling.
Darren?
Yeah, this was a tricky one. Like, I'm not a massive expert on the old point-to-point form. Some people would say I'm not an expert on rules for him either, and they're probably right, but the one I come down in here just narrowly was Burning Ambition. Like, he broke my heart at Aintree. I had a fairly decent bet on him that day over 2.5 miles, and he just didn't get home. Do you know what I mean? He obviously didn't stay. Don't know, did he hit the front too soon? I'm going to give him one more chance here, but not with a great degree of confidence, because the 3 miles here is plenty stiff, and I couldn't be certain he'd get home. Like,
okay, Paul?
I'm with Dave here with Stand Up and Fight. I think he went through the Cheltenham race like a better horse than he finished the race, and he's going to be a decent horse.
Okay. And again, with brevity, your watchword, the 7-10, the novice hurdle?
I'm going to take a little chance on Dun Vegan bouncing back to form. Got some decent win. One at the meeting last year. Obviously didn't show anything at all at Cheltenham. But better than that. And probably this is the right way round for him as well.
Okay. Darren?
I'd fancy Gardens of Babylon here, but I just think this might come a little bit quick after his run in Fairy House. I think he just about sets the standard, especially getting the bit of weight as a 4-year-old. But the one I'm going to come down on is Breakin for Willie Mullins. He won his maiden in Limerick in what was probably a nothing race, but just the way he went about it that day, pulled like a train, won, I think it was 19 or 20 lengths he won by, and Willie's reaction afterwards was just like, he nearly didn't know what to make. Like, he said he was working well at home, but he just didn't know whether he'd be settled enough to go and do that on the track. I'm going to take a chance on him. I think he's obviously the least exposed. He's the most improvement in him, and I'd be hoping he could run a big race tomorrow.
And DJ, if you can give us your view on this race and then seamlessly flow into your tip in the final bumper.
Willie Mullins has won 5 of the last 6 runnings of this race, and Undersoul won it in 2013, Arctic Fire 2014. So he does aim good horses at this race. I think like the sexiest of his kind of team here are Animix and Breakin. Animix was one time favourite for the Supreme. Keels will probably tell you more about Animix because his buddy Joe Chambers will probably have filled him in. But I think the kind of forgotten horse here of the Willie Mullins team could be Cashback, who's rated 141. I thought he was probably the best horse in the race to Farias last time. Just made a few late errors and was just a bit inexperienced. I think he's a good horse. He's a thorough galloper and he could just potentially run these into the ground, I think, Cashback. So it'll be Cashback for me in the 7-10. And in the seventh and final race, which is obviously a bumper and there is not much form to go on. And for that reason, I would go for Gold Dubois, who won a point at Kirkstown by a length and a half. Was 4-5 favourite that day. Fell first time out for Jessica Harrington, Finney Maguire. Jessica loves to have winners and bumpers here. It's not a fantastic theory, but it's the theory I'm going with.
And do you guys have a theory in the last race?
No, I'd guess the last race. I mean, it's just, I'd be guessing in bumpers anyway, so I'm not going to put anything up for it.
Fair enough, Darren?
Yeah, I don't want to spoof my way through this. Token selection would be Monkfish for Willie Mullins, just on the back of his point-to-point win. He had Fury rolled back and forth, beating about six lengths, and he's a very good bumper horse for Gordon Elliott this year. I'd actually expect him to win the bumper today. But again, it's a token selection. You couldn't be too confident.
Okay, smashing, and we end the programme with your best bets for day four of the festival. Paul Keighley.
I think I'm going to say Apple's Jade. I think she's still the wrong price. She'll end up favourite.
Darren?
I'm going to come down the side of Battle Over Diane. Thanks to David.
Okay, so Battle Over Diane and Apple's Jade and David Jennings.
I go for Jets in the 420.
Fantastic. So Jets, Battle Over Diane and Apple's Jade are the team's naps on day four. Only one day left for preview. That's day five. Join us for that then. Bye-bye.
Friends, or maybe more. Earn a 20 quid free bet for every friend you refer to Paddy Power, thanks to our Friends with Benefits programme. Log in to your Paddy Power account and share your referral link to get started. Terms and conditions apply. 18+, begambleaware.org.